Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
So our next speaker, our next minister, is Barrister Gozie Udemezwe Esquire. She's a Nigerian lawyer, development practitioner, and women's rights advocate with over 2.5 decades of experience spanning law, leadership, and social impact. You know, if I read everything, I will have preached a sermon. So I will read everything. Pardon me, ma. Let me beg in advance. Pardon me. Praise God. Okay. So she, let me read the first second paragraph. She obtained her LLB from Enugu, that is Esut, in 1999, and the Master's in Law in Human Rights Law from the University of London in 2015. She also holds a certificate in international human rights from International Institute for Human Rights in 2003 and is currently pursuing a PhD in Peace, Conflict, and Development Studies at Esut. She's a fellow of the African Leadership Institute of West Africa. She is the founder and the executive member of Healing Hearts Widow Support Foundation Incorporated, providing emotional, legal, and socioeconomic support to widows. She founded Blessed Widows Nigeria in 2022, a faith-based platform focused on empowerment and advocacy. She's also the founder and lead coach of Wevolution Grief Coaching Services, supporting individuals through grief recovery and life building, life rebuilding. That's profound, right? Ah, if you're quiet. I'll finish everything if you're quiet. That's profound, Abby. All right. Please, with Jesus' joy in our hearts, let's rise to our feet as we welcome Barrister Gozie Udemezwe. Come on now. Clap some more. Clap some more.
Who is like you? You are glorious in holiness and fearful in praise. You always do in wonders, hallelujah. Who is like unto thee? Oh, Lord, who is like unto thee?
If the prophet is saying,
oh, I'm all.
Is he your father? Is he your mother? Is it you, me? Am I like unto him? Is it your landlord? Is it your husband, your spouse, your children, your employer who pays your salary? Is he the one like unto him among the gods? And when we talk about gods, we think about Ogugu. Gods can be our job, can be our beauty, can be the children. Gods, whatever is priority, is God. So among all of this, who is like unto him? He's glorious in holiness, and he's fearful in praises. The only reason why I'm standing here today is that he's doing wonders. If he wasn't doing wonders, I wouldn't be here. I would have been 6 feet down 13 years ago. And so, I have sang this song. I have listened to it for a whole week. Listening to Theophilus Sunday singing, I have soaked in it. I have questioned my being. And so, when I walked in and listened to my sister speak, I said, that's it. You have to get to a point where you understand that it's either God or God. There's no midpoint. There's no other alternative. Maybe, she said, to get the fire, there has to be furnace. If you haven't gone through any furnace, you might be disqualified from asking for fire. And the type of furnace that God will not even allow the smoke to be perceived on you. Because he will wash you clean. And no matter how broken you have become, out of that brokenness, he will work out two things among many. He will work out devotion. And he will work out spiritual authority. That when you speak, he validates it. Because he knows that you have seen pain. He knows that you have gotten to a point where you could have walked away from him, but you chose to stay. And so he honors your word as a reward to you for staying. Who is like thee? You are glorious in all. It has to be slow. You are fearful in praise. Always do. Aye. In wonders, hallelujah. Oh Lord, oh the gods, ah, oh. The God who does wonders, we thank you. Without your wonders, there wouldn't have been Cornerstone Church. Without your wonders, we wouldn't have been here. Without your wonders, some of us would have been forgotten. And our family members would have gotten tired of hosting our memorial services. Without your wonders, we wouldn't be breathing. We might just be ordinto onwukama. Without your wonders, we wouldn't have met you. We wouldn't have met you. And you wouldn't have given us access. Access is a privilege. Father, we are grateful. Thank you. Thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for the God you are. Thank you for the help you have been. Thank you for drawing us into your presence as your own. Thank you. We return all the glory to you. For we have prayed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Cornerstone Church, hallelujah. It's an honor to be here this afternoon. Pastor Chioma, thank you. For Pastor Chisom, I keep calling her Chioma. That's my first daughter's name, Chisom. Pastor Chisom, I am grateful for the invitation to be here. Thank you. My dear sister Haske, thank you. I appreciate everyone here. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. You spoke deeply to me. And you reinforced a couple of things that had come up in my secret place. You know, there are times you move and you want to wait to see if you are still with the one who is leading. God used you to bring a couple of words. Obi, God bless you. I am so glad to see you today. I have been asked to speak on the woman, her devotion and her spiritual authority. And I was telling my daughter, I said, the past 13 years has given me the experience, the knowledge, and the encounter to be able to talk about devotion and to be able to talk about spiritual authority. I want to start by defining devotion. Devotion. And I am not coming from a place of devotion to human being. I am coming from a place of devotion to God. If it's in the area of devotion to human being, maybe I'll score myself 100% because I was married to a man I was completely devoted to. And in some times, I even tried to tell God to wait. Let me devote to him. And then derailing myself, because I won't say he derailed me, derailing myself from my assignment. And so at times when we give, oh, it's because of this person. No, it's us. Deep love, loyalty, commitment, or dedication to someone, to something, or to a cause. That's the meaning of devotion. You can also define it as giving your heart, your time, your energy, wholeheartedly. That word is very important. Because devotion can be half measures. You won't call it devotion. Wholehearted, like everything on the inside of you, to someone, you know, that's just, but in this afternoon, we are talking about devotion to God. And so, wholeheartedly, as I prepared this teaching, I was like, where I am now, is there anything that will take me out of my secret place, my place of devotion, my assignment, my service? God is the one we must devote to. And when you ask yourself, why should I devote to him? I'll ask you, why are you still alive? You know, when you think of conception, if you go through all the 3D photos of the spermatozoa skimming, you know, like a race, 100 meters, and they are running towards the ovum. One or two or three or four or five get there. Most times one. What about the others? That one is you, is me, in that space. So why didn't the others make it? A choice was made that it has to be this or this or this. Who made the choice? Who? Was it our parent? No. Imagine an Igbo man who has had five women, five girls. If you give her the choice and he's using microscope, if it's possible to use microscope, if he sees the first one, he's a girl, he will puncture it. The second one is a girl, he will stab it. The third, oh, I don't want it. He might not even have an instrument. His words. I have counseled women who, on the day they were giving birth, what welcomed them was, or wine. And then they internalized it even when they were not present. And then they grew up into the same space that still says, and then they married into the same space that still says, and God help them if the man dies in that space, they are done for. And so who do you devote to? The one who made the choice. If you like to write, I like to teach, and I like to write notes. Now, what is spiritual authority? The woman, her devotion, her spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is the God-given right. It's not the right by the Constitution. It's God-given right. It's the power, it's the responsibility to represent God's will, to be his ambassador, to influence others. So the first one is to represent him. And you cannot represent who you don't know. I cannot become U.S. ambassador to Nigeria. Am I qualified to be that? No. Number one, it has to be somebody from that country. And so for us to represent God, we must be from his kingdom. And then after representing him, the next level is to influence others. Influence. So when we are transformed, we transform the society. You know, when I was growing up, there was a clear-cut demarcation between the church and the state. Oh, they will tell you, oh, if you're a civil servant, you don't preach in this, you don't do this. Oh, you don't have to get involved in leadership of the community. You don't have to do this, you don't have to do that. No. Because if we as Christians continue to stay away from those spaces, the ones who will continue to lead us will be the ones who bow to Baal. And God forbid that we be continually led by worshippers of Baal. We've influenced spiritually. We exercise faith. But it must be in accordance with God's word. And so, these two words, they are not controlling. Some people believe that to have authority means that there has to be, you know, you control people. No, for the context of what I'm talking about is about serving God. About obeying his word. And then carrying out his purpose. These three things. Number one, service. Maybe because it's my special area, but service. Number two, obey. You can't even serve without obeying, because you will be serving Baal. Number three, carrying out his purpose with humility and integrity. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Just in case we are asking ourselves, do we have the authority? You know, some of us, we don't have authority in our homes. There are homes you go to. You find children have more authority than their mothers. Mothers, some of the conversations we shy away from, we have to have them. You find a young man whose father beats the mother. And he also will take after the father and tells the mother to keep quiet. I have had women sit in front of me and say, it's not even what my husband is doing that is paining me. It's what my son is doing. What is your son doing? And you hear all sorts. Between 2001 and date, before these my ears, and so being a woman is beyond just running your life and dealing with the hot flushes and dealing with all the menstrual cramps and doing, what about the home? And when you talk about domestic violence, they look at the man. There are women who are violated and abused by their children. And it's an error. It shouldn't be. I have given you authority to overcome all the powers of the enemy. If you are writing, please underline all. All. You see, when you read the scripture, it's important that you pick the words as they wrote it. All. It didn't say some. All. Which means that you bring together the totality of everything. And when I talk about enemy, please don't look at any human being. I'm not interested in any human being. When I lost my husband in 2013 and people were dragging and talking and blah, 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 I wasn't looking at them. I was looking at the demons there operating through them. And so I had to face the demons. And now I have shut down the mouth of those demons. Those mouths that used to drag me, they are now the praise singers. But if you focus on human beings, you keep so much malice that your prayer will not be answered. And then they have dealt with you twice. They dragged you and they blocked your prayer. God forbid. Say God forbid. I have seen women who are broken. But I have also seen women who rise from that place of ash and brokenness into authority. And we didn't gather here to trade blames. We didn't come here. I'm sure that's not why you call this meeting. It's not to trade blames. It's to beam the light on us. Beam the light on us. It's not about what the husband is doing or what the father said when you were little or what your mother said when you were not little. Beam the light. And then look up and ask, how devoted am I to the one who has the final say? I have had people who say to me, if not for my background, if not that my mother died, if not that my husband died, if not that I was an orphan, there are always excuses. Can we trash them this afternoon? Because you have to devote. And when you devote, you receive a mantle of authority. That those things that you used to fear, they will begin to fear you. Hey! You wake up at 3 a.m. That time you used to shiver and wonder whether demons are in the owl. You know those owls? They cry in your neighborhood and you wake up and you are shivering. And rather than shiver, you open your eyes and you face the direction. Omega, your name is lifted up above other names. Hallelujah. Your name is lifted up above other. The owl does not need I bind you, cast you, kill you. Above other names, the owl is a name. And so you raise the voice. Ah, you are lifted up. And so rather than focus on those things that appear as snake and owl, you focus on the one who made them. And he will evict them because the earth is his and the fullness thereof. And so this afternoon, I want us to equip ourselves with how. I'm not to blame. And if you exasperated, you are here, you are tired, don't pretend. Don't pretend. Or when you are tired, you don't know which way to go. As you listen, communicate with your God. You see, we do a lot of religion in church. We do a lot of pretense, and you won't blame people because those they had gone to confide in. After confiding in them on Thursday, on Sunday, you're now dressed anyhow, you know, yellow, 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 red, 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 blue, 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 you know, with all the Mary Kay and all the Estee Lauder, and you appeared in spite of your situation. And they tapped the next person and said, don't mind how. You said this, all this coming. Oh, she told me. And then it will move and move and move and get into her ears. And she will lock up. Sisters, we need to begin to give shoulders that are not flippant. Some shoulders are flippant. We need to begin to give shoulders that don't have wide mouth so that people can open their mouth. Therapy is expensive. Coaching is expensive. I charge money for grief coaching. It's not free. It's expensive. But a sister in church can be a non-paying grief coach. But the question is, will you keep what you have heard? Will you keep what you have heard? Or will we take it out? Because we are looking at what the men are doing. What we sisters are doing to one another. In the place of devotion, there's no strife. There's no strife. You know, I don't want to go into all the reading of Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42 about Mary and Martha and the aspect of being busy and not being spiritually rooted and the position that Mary took and the position that Martha took. I want to talk about when you hear devotion, what do you look out for? When you hear spiritual authority, what do you look out for? Those are the things I want to look at. So that as we live here today, we can say, yes, if I hear that this woman is devoted, this is what I will look out for. And this is what I will see. And it will also help you in choosing a mentor. Don't go and drink from a dirty cup. Because no matter how clean your water is, the water inside, that one that goes in will mix up with it. And it will mess it up. That cup might be convenient. But is it godly? That cup might be convenient. But is it doing the work that the Lord designed it to do? What do you look out for in a devoted woman? Oh, this woman is devoted. We say it all the time. Oh, she's devoted. And we have defined devotion, deep love, wholehearted commitment. Now, number one is that she loves God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. You can't question her love for God. That even in the depth of the pit, she's loving God. Matthew 22:37. I have a lot of scriptures, but I will skip some of them. You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your mind. And so, for us to be devoted women of God, we have to love him wholeheartedly. Nobody can take his place. Whom have I in heaven but you? I love that scripture. There were those days that it was really crazy around me. I will open it up and say, who have I? And one day my sister said, are you saying that we are not? We have surrounded you. You are the last born. Eh? Have we not? I said, it's not that kind of surrounding, no. Because the way my husband just boom and died, you people can also boom die. I want that one who can surround and will not boom die. Leave me alone. You know, there are family members that will eavesdrop into your prayer. And they want to drag you because you are talking to your God. Am I talking to you? Pray your prayer. Listen your listen. Keep quiet. Let the one I'm talking to respond. Because he responded. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. Wholehearted. Wholehearted. That woman has to be wholehearted. Number two, she obeys God's word without compromise. You see, one of the first ways to see devotion is obedience. If you are devoted to your husband, it's natural that you obey him. You won't be doing a you said, I said. And for me, obedience is about alignment with the word. That if he says, don't do this, you have aligned. Like you talked about the Rechabites. Even if you take them inside hole, they will not do that thing. So it's not about what is seen and what is not seen. They have taken a stand and they have stood there. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so a devoted woman who loves God wholeheartedly will do what? Will just keep his commandments. Not because she cannot break those commandments. But that love will not allow you. I was telling with my daughter, I said to my daughter, when you get to a point when that, even if you are in the middle of that temptation, you will not fall in. I said, it takes grace to get to that point. Not because nobody will see that you fell. Accountability. But be ye doers. Doers. I'm not hearers only. A devoted woman hears and does. And a devoted woman, how will she hear? She has to study. I see women who go to church on Sunday with Bible, keep it. Those type of women, you won't see them in midweek service. They keep it till Sunday and they will need to dust it. Because they might have powder on it, brown powder. And they might have dust, if it's Hamatan. So how do you obey what you don't know? This word shall not depart from your mouth. How did it enter? How did it enter our hearts? How did it end? It has to enter. You know, my father said, "Igana ata okwu Chineke ata." And in my mind, those days, I was 13, 14. But now I understand it because there's a day you read one verse and you stick there. Hi, it's not about 1 million verses. You come there and you brood over it. Romans 8:28. I lived there in 2013. And I said, how can all things work together? 13 years after, it's clear. Crystal clear. How do we do if we don't study? And how do we hear if we don't come? We have to come. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of brethren. You walk in. Let me share what happened on Sunday. On Sunday, I told myself I wasn't going to church because my daughter was ill. So I became a doctor. After I've given her the treatment, you know, when you find an excuse. So I stayed home. At about 9:29, I joined my church online. Everywhere just kept quiet. The pastor stopped saying anything. Everywhere, my room was like, when we were young, they would say, like 1 second of stillness. And I heard, get up and go to church. This was a service of 8 a.m. And I go to church on time. It's my covenant with God. I don't know late going. I stood up, rushed my electric kettle, rushed my bathroom, rushed my white dress. He said, come before me in this manner. As I was driving, I said, who will help me to park? By the time I find parking space, my spirit was... And then one of the traffic guys came out and said, mommy, let me park for you. I said, if I had doubt, this is a sign. As I stepped in, something I spoke to God about 2 days before that day, the pastor was addressing it. As I stood by my chair, he sent an usher, go and call mommy Gozie. And then the words he spoke was why God brought me here on Sunday. There's no way he would have known the prayers I have prayed in the privacy of my room without anybody even upstairs to say, maybe they heard and told him. How do you hear if you don't get close? Okadinobi is a falsehood and a fallacy. We obey God's word. Number three, we devoted women. I want to personalize it now. We, you are a devoted woman. That's why you are here. Yeah. We maintain a life of prayer and worship. You must maintain an altar. I pity any woman who doesn't have an altar. I didn't say you should go and build table and put anything there. It could be a spot. When I sit on my bed, the other side of the bed, facing the wall, that spot where my leg, there. If you meet me kneeling there, once they open the door, they go back. Everybody, when my husband was alive, he knew. But that time I was in and out of God. Nobody tell me now when jungle mature. Don't wait for jungle to mature. It's a terrible place to be. There has to be a place. Altar is a place of exchange and transaction. There has to be a place you go and you honor God and you speak to him. You can't live in a house and you don't have a spot. It could be anywhere. It could be in your bathroom where you can stay and say, I have no other God but you. He has your attention. And your children, once they hear and they see that you are there, they are not coming to ask for biscuits. You have to train people on the protocol of altar. Every altar has a protocol. You have to talk to them. To know that this moment, or that once he's nine, don't come near me. Let me relate with my God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. It didn't say pray only when we need help. Pray only when the rain is falling. Pray only when this... Without ceasing. Without ceasing. There's a scripture I want everybody to read together. Psalm 27 verse 4. I want to hear us read it. I want to hear you because I want you to internalize it. I want you to have it on the inside of you. Psalm 27. Just give me a moment. I would have brought my iPad. It's faster there for me. Okay. I am going to be reading from NIV. Psalm 27, verse 4. 1, 2, 3, go. One thing I ask from the Lord. Can we read it up aloud? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his inner temple. To do what? No, the first one was what? To gaze. And so the impression that once we enter God's presence, God do, God give, God, do for me. God, do. No. There are times that prayer is just to honor him. It's just to worship him. It's just to, just like you sit before a woman and you are admiring. You know you can admire God. There are names you call him. In that place of prayer, not necessarily to ask, give me, give me, give me, give me. Do for me, do for me. I think God is tired of all these supplications. He said, bring those supplications with thanksgiving. Now, with the tie and wrapper, bring them without thanksgiving. We can sit there. If you're an Igbo person like me, you say, Chineke nnam. Ibukwa na oma ama amasi amasi. Imagine if it was you. I want you to position yourself now. Eh? And imagine that you are God. And one woman whose rent is due. Because I'm not coming from a place of plenty. I'm not describing the woman that has plenty. I'm not describing the woman that everything is going well for. I'm not describing a woman that is not going through grief and loss. I'm describing a woman who is like the woman caught in adultery. Guilty. Condemned. Yet hungry. In need. Like the Samaritan woman. Five men, none of them husband. Coming from a place of ash and brokenness. And you wake up in the morning. And you say, Chineke dimma. Chineke ne mi fe si ke odinlo. O mama amasi amasi. O ne genti. O wake on asi. Enche make el jomwa ifo na acho. O mwere fe na acho. Ine tuya. You are praising him. You are praising him. And God is wondering, what does she want? You don't want anything. Great God. Reliable God. O melumbo kabo. My father, my lover, the restorer of my soul, the great God, my Rapha. You remember when he healed, when the doctor have said, go home, nothing can be done. And then you remember when he provided, as the landlord's hand was knocking on the door, a credit alert was landing on your phone. And instead of coming out to say, landlord, I'm sorry, you are saying to him, yes, sir. Can I have your account details? There are days you remember him like that. And spend time. It mustn't be minutes. Don't rush it. Worship him. The woman who prays and who worships. What about the woman who lives a life of humility and reverence for God? There's Proverbs 31:30, very popular. I won't go into that. But I want you to think about total dependence. I used to think it was impossible. But in the past 13 years, that's the best place to be. That way, you have no expectation of anyone. Zero expectation. And the way God does it, he will do it in such a way that when it happens, you will not share his glory with any man. Because if he gives you an alternative, you will say, hey, if not for my uncle's father's cousin, but he would do it that you would depend solely on him. What does the devoted woman represent? Number five. She produces godly fruit through love and service. Remember that number four, she lives a life of humility and reverence for God. And the woman who reverences God reverences human beings. It flows. Reverence for God. Number five, she produces fruit through love and service. Her devotion is visible. I wrote this because I loved it. Her devotion is visible in her carriage, in her countenance, and in character. And in the way she treats people. Women, that girl that carries your baby, that girl that feeds your children, that girl that washes your children's clothes, should not be treated differently from your own biological children. If you continue to do that, you are not a woman that is devoted to God. There's no reason why you should make two pots. One soup will be very thick with the best of meat parts, jiji, steak, isi everything. And then the second pot will be an equivalent of River Niger. That when you need to eat it, you hold spoon with one hand and hold garri with the other. So that when you throw in garri, you rush in the soup. And that one is for your maid. How do you treat the poor? How do you treat the poor? You can read when you get home. Galatians 5:22 and 1 John 3:18. Are there benefits when you are a devoted woman? Yes. Number one, divine guidance and protection and direction. I was hoping on projector, so I didn't. Normally, I write out my Bible verses. So, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Divine guidance and direction. When you are devoted to him. Onye ahu nedum o. Oga ekwe ki here me mo. Onye nedum. Oga ekwe kamfue nuzo. Chukwu ahụ na-edu mụ, ọ gaghị ekwe ka m fue n'ụzọ. Onye na-edu mụ maara ụzọ. He cannot do egi if you are not devoted to him. The second benefit is protection. Divine help. Divine protection. Intervention. I remember a few days after my husband was killed and my father came to my house. He was 90 years then. And he was crying. I was like, ah, Papa, why are you crying? I said that he's worried about how I will live in the compound with my children. Of all the things that should worry you. Eh? About how I will live. You should be thinking about money. How we will live. In my mind, it didn't make sense to me. I said, why? He said, this place is too big. People might invade you. What will you do? I said, you should be worried about the people that will invade me. Because I am prepared. Oh, you see this widowhood there? Eh? I know go grill. Oh. I am prepared. I said, don't worry. God is there. He said, you know, India no ife. Women in India no ife. I said, it's not about him no ife, my God. That was when he dawned on me that it's either God or God. God may allow a situation that will bring you face to face with him. And you will realize that all of that ground is sinking. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I cannot trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. Sinking sand. When you devote to him, he's committed to protecting you. Because if he fails in that area, his name. Another benefit is spiritual growth and fruitfulness. You see, devotion produces maturity. I remember me years ago and me now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, when Psalm 1 verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. People think it's about wealth. So that you go. No! It's about you. It's about what used to make you angry. There was a time I wake up by 5 a.m. Eh? If I open my door and they have not swept, how do you expect people to sweep by 5 now? They are still tidying up things in the kitchen. And moreover, they don't come upstairs that early. But the devil will show me something. Woo! I will start firing. And then I'll fire downstairs. I won't touch anybody. I'll be shouting my shout. And then my husband will come down and say, darling, come, let me show you something. He will take me. God will give you the man who understands your temperament, that will know how to handle you. When we come, I'll say, well, just didn't go down, you know? Just lay down. And from there, I'll doze off. When I wake up, you see, there's no gain in shouting. And so planting you by the river is not just about wealth. It's also about you. Because you get to a point where you become to influence other people. And you have to be impactful. What impact is it going to be? Number 4. A devoted woman has peace in difficult seasons. And people will look at you and say, is it not this one that he kukubulu bambamonia? And they say, yes, it's her. Say, but she's dancing in church. Is it not that one that this child died the other day? Oh, she's praising God. When you are devoted, it develops, builds up trust in you to know that the same God who brought that child, if he wants, will replace. If he doesn't, he is still God. You know, we get to a point where we trust him wholeheartedly. Peace. Isaiah 26:3. I'm reading out those, my favorite scriptures. You will keep him in peace. Thank you. Whose mind is stayed on you. That is devotion. Mind has to stay on him. And now, what will he do? He will now keep in peace. You can see it's a symbiotic relationship. Even in storm. And that's when people will ask, is it not that one that her husband died? My husband left our home on 10th of January, 2013, to go and sign a contract. The biggest contract we would have done, because I sold it after he died. After he signed it, he called me and said, oh, we've signed it. Oh, I said, how much? He told me. I said, please, I want Toyota Corolla. I will tear the rubber. He said, I know you. You and beautiful things are five. I said, oh, giddy woman, don't worry, I will buy it for you. If you trust in the arm of flesh, the arm of flesh fails. That was the last time I spoke to him till date. Because barely 1 hour after, a drunk Navy officer knocked him down and killed him. They said, no, now two men, now two men, now two men. Till 11:59 p.m. of that 11th January. And so by 2:30, I received a call, 2:30 a.m., a call from the brother. As soon as I saw it, I told my friend, I said, my husband is dead. They can't be calling me by 2:30. And he has not called me since the last time we spoke. I said, it's not possible. I said, I'll leave you, two of you all the time. Love, love. And of course, he was dead. So where's the Toyota Corolla? Stop banking on human beings. A devoted woman will bank all her bankables on God. Let God be the one who will decide who will give it to you. Remember the Shunammite woman carrying a dead baby. And they were asking her and she was saying, it is well. And when you come to that point, and when God said to me, don't bury your husband, sow him as a seed. And he said to me, worship me. Stop asking me to heal him. I have answered the prayer my own way. I said, your own way? He said, yes. And then he said, just worship me. And then I started hearing, you lifted me. You gave me a song. I said, lifted who? Lift, Onyeki lift too. God knows that my spirit is in a kwako. So he tries to calm it down. I said, Onyeki lift too. Gariki Specialist Hospital. Mortuary. Ki lift to mu. I was pregnant. Lifted who? But I kept singing. You know, following God is like being in the military. You obey, even when you are crying. Hagama torogi mama, mama eh, okoro biadima, mama eh, chukwonyen jebo, ay, balena na basekata, mama eh, oh, asingi na rekene, asingi na ro tuto, when I sang that song, literally, the devil was mocking me. You lifted me. 13 years after, the lifting is beyond what I ever thought about. I sang it. And so it was like the Shunammite woman saying, it is well. When it, in the real sense, it wasn't well. God gives divine favor when we are devoted to him. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. And the Lord will give grace and glory. Listen, when we are devoted to him, doors open. Doors open. Human efforts fail. Before the death of my husband, both of us set up a foundation for widows. Because he saw how I was helping widows. And he said, at the rate you are going, one day you will carry all our money. And even this house, and give widows. Set up a foundation. Let's work out some earnings from the business we run. So we give to widows. And so he will bring, I will bring. And then I will ask his friends, I will beg and beg. Some will even shame you. You see this divine favor. This is 18 years of that foundation. And 13 years after my husband died, we have a program on Saturday. It's paid for. Paid for. I did not go to Facebook to raise funds. I did not go, God, listen, stay with God. No matter how stormy it is, the woman, her devotion, for you to now get spiritual authority, there has to be devotion. It's from that devotion that this authority will come, that you will decree a thing and it will come to pass. God woke me up this morning after my prayer. We pray 6 a.m. every morning with Blessed Widows Nigeria. After we finished praying, he said, find those coming from Lagos. Find those coming from Enugu. Fly them into Enugu on your own expenses. See, I said, I'm going to spend a day in a dujem. I'm going to say, I'm going to tell you, But I called them. And I said, have you bought your bus ticket? No. How are you coming? Two said, night bus from Lagos. I said, stay on the phone. And I was moving them. Airpiece. Enugu Air. Airpiece. I started crying. I called my daughter. I broke down. I said, the devil thought he had pinned me down by the loss of a man I was devoted to. And now the devotion has switched from him to God. And God is treating me better. I don't know what the devil is doing to you. I don't know what. I have my staff member there. She goes the rim, works with the foundation. She's all she has been doing this week is bank. Is it a lie? We are signing checks. This morning we paid for flight ticket. And I told God, I said, I don't want them to go by road though. If you show me between now and Wednesday, I go show them flight ticket back. And one of them said, Mommy, I have never entered plane. The devil planned it for evil. Now I can feel the pain when the widow says she's hungry. I can feel the pain of a widow going by road, kidnapped as a bully. And then her children will not be able to pay. And so when I was transferring that money, I wasn't doing them a favor. I was sowing seed over my own travels. I was sowing seed over the travels of my children. And if you are a mother here and you make certain sacrifices, let your children know. So that when it is time to bank on those sacrifices, they will say, oh, thou God of my mother.
You are the Lord, you never fail. You are the Lord, you never change. From A to A, just the same. You are moving around to Riku.
You are more than enough. That's, he's more than enough. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. It's more than enough. Your devotion, what God did for me from 2013 is to make me, you understand what I'm saying? Because you are walking the path. You are walking the path. And what he did for me, if I didn't go through 13 years, Pastor Chisom wouldn't have brought me here. God will not make her and ask her to bring me here because I will not have anything to tell you. But he made me to go through hell. You know hell? I'm back. I'm now is devotion to him. And if you are in my space and you will mislead me, I will use spiritual shelters and sanitize my space and you go. It's either you are in God or you are not and you're out of my space. I don't know the story they have told you that because of that your background and that your situation that it will never go well. They have told you because you didn't go to university. They have told you because your father is dead. They have told you because your husband is dead. They have told you because you don't have any child. What lies from the pit of hell have they told you? They told me that because I am strong-headed, that now my husband is dead, that people will show me shege. They never bomb person when they show me.
Okechimo kwagibu nekuchim. Obukipu omokachie.
That's right. That's
right.
See what he has done for me.
See how he saves me. Okay, Lord, you are the living God. Everybody go. Yes, sir. No one like you.
This is a song of a woman who is devoted. And it doesn't mean that you have seen what you're asking for. Because when you are singing, you are my pillar.
You are my pillar.
Maybe you don't feel him as a pillar.
My life giver.
Come.
SM, you are the living God. Yes, no one like you. No one can do me like you do, God. No one can touch me like you do. Everybody can. You are the living God. Okay, more.
Yes, no one. When you devote, God is on this side, giving you authority. As your devotion is increasing, the level of your authority is increasing. That they will call you at midnight. A widow calls you at midnight and says, "My child is not breathing well." You say, "The child will breathe well. My child is that. The child will not die." It does not require long prayer. Because you know where you are coming from. From that fire, where the fourth man appeared. And because he said to you, "You, I'm standing there." Spiritual authority. Authority over the enemy. Power in prayer. Positive influence over others. Capacity to breathe God's purpose. Capacity to breathe God's purpose. Capacity. I was running a foundation doing human rights, and God said, "I sent you to bring widows to me. I did not send you to teach them human rights." And so he forced me 6 years ago to start a prayer meeting 6 a.m. to 12 noon once a year. Widows prayer wave. And we have widows coming. This year we have paid for most of the rooms at Bayview Hotels. Paid for a lot of the rooms in Nafelis. Before, when we started, we used to crouch in one room in my building. The other years, they will crouch in two rooms. Now, if you want to put your AC from morning, and so they're arriving Friday, we're having evening prayer. We are praying Saturday. Sunday, we go to Thanksgiving. Those who want to fly, fly. If you want to stay, stay. Is there food to feed you? There's food. Is there water? We've stacked water. Everything is available. And I told God, I said, "I'm not going to backyard the catering." I called it working. I said, "Why are my widow's food?" If you know her, she's one of the best. Listen to me. Listen to me. As I begin to round off, listen to me. Sister Haske was with me in KDC when my husband died. Who is holding the cup you are drinking from? Don't wait until he hits you before you start looking for cup. I was on a flight to New York with Professor Idi Itinwosu in 2006 or 2007. We are going for a meeting. 11 hours non-flight, non-stop flight. And God said, "Dear, that time I know they hear, but God still they say, God, thank you. Kiss inagi them in all my foolishness." Unamagota. He said, "Go back, go to that seat and kneel down on the plane and submit yourself to Professor Edith Woos." Hey, I said, "On this plane." I said, "God, let it be that everybody is sleeping, you know." Because that time I was a rich man's wife. You know, when God wants to deal with you, he will strip everything. He will strip you naked. And then he will be the only one that will give you a wrapper to cover yourself. And that wrapper, he will never remove it. If man gives you wrapper, the day you no agree to, then go do with the wrapper, then go come out. So I stood up. People were awake. They were awake. But I went and knelt down. I said, "Mama, know what I heard? Till date, that's the cup I drink from. Till date, till date. There must be somebody. You cannot be know it all. You cannot be know it all. You cannot be know. There must be somebody God has prepared for you for such a time." Mordecai was there. The eunuch was there. Before Esther started walking towards where she needed. I have 6 minutes. And I want to plead with you. To know that a woman who is devoted and who has spiritual authority, which is an offshoot, I doubt any spiritual authority that comes not from a place of devotion, is contaminated. If you look deep, you will find Nana is something. I can sue something. Because he cannot stand on nothing. There's a boldness and the confidence that comes when you speak. And because you know that God is your God. If Esther was not bold, how would she have carried out her assignment? If Jael was not bold, how would he have captured a warrior? Where Sunni I have at? Hello? You know the story. If Deborah was not bold, how could she have been who she was in the midst of men? You know, men of those days. Jacobed. Was it Jacobed? Daughters? Those daughters who were bold. Zelophehad, to demand for their inheritance. You are seated, and the devil is sitting on what belongs to you. This morning, I told my widows, before you give up on something you are asking God for, you have to be sure that it's not Prince of, that it's God that doesn't want it to come yet. Go on prayer of inquiry. Ask God, are you the one holding this so that I'll be prepared? Or is it Prince of Persia? Apollo, Prince of Persia, use your night as day and day as night and fight it until you get it. But the problem is that we use it as well to give us in the place of prayer. And you say, that's how God wants it. Did God tell us that that's how he wants it? If it is how he wants it, back down and just ask for grace to wait. But if it is not how he wants it, that is the kingdom of darkness that is taking back what belongs to you. Because they said in your father's house that girls don't marry. And you sit on that and you agree that you will not marry. Hey! It's an abomination that you are giving what belongs to God's children to a swine. I call forth your boldness. I call forth that spiritual authority. That compound where you live in. When you are coming in, you are watching to be sure that that woman that used to torment you is not outside. If she's outside, Inko, la sukata la proli mayi kafe. As you are firing and entering, she will run inside. Hey, you wake up in the morning and you declare boldness. It's not just to fight war. Is to also trust that God will do what he said he would do. And so you wake up in the morning that they have told you that your son's school fees must be paid. And you don't know where it's going to come from. And then the boldness in you arises. And you begin to sing. Instead of crying and saying, God, what have I done? You declare, I'm no game mayor. And the devil will mock you and say, look at this one. They have pursued your child out of school. And you respond. There are times, stop keeping quiet. When the devil is intimidating you. And so you go back again and say, I'm no game mayor.
For I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor he sees back bread. For he's the God who never forsakes his own.
The God who never forsakes his own is the speech of a bold, of a devoted woman who has authority. And the devil will not continue to threaten you. And when he speaks fear into you, you say, no, I know my God, and I know that he has not forsaken me. Go back to your secret place. Go back to your secret place. Go back and spend time in devotion to God. Go back and put your ear on his chest. Go back to your secret place. Go back to your secret place. That place where you are, you shouldn't be there. Get up and go back to your secret place. Go back to your first love. He loved us first. Go back. Father, take us back. Take us back. Take us back. I cherish the old ragged cross. Da, na, 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 na. I will cling.
to the altar again.
Aha.
And he said, he's coming for us.
There's a crown on the other side. If you are here and you have not given your life to Jesus, everything we have said here might delude you. How can you devote to the God you don't know? This is the time to give your life to Jesus and to say to him, take me. I submit to you. Make him your Lord and personal Savior so that you begin to devote to him and he will begin to build you up and then he will authorize you to act on his behalf. And so when you decree, it comes to pass and he will evict all free fear and replace it with fear. Father, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you for today. And let your name be glorified. For we have prayed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.